I definitely think that there's a, you know, even if you're building, trying to build a brand with 100% other people's products. I mean, I think the, you know, the onus is on the retailer to add some value, you know, whether it's, you know, through content or expertise or, you know, even just curation, which again, like in, we've sort of forgotten almost the benefit of curation when we think about Amazon and, you know, marketplaces and things. But I think there is a huge benefit to understanding, you know, what are good products and only selling good products.
You're listening to E-commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder, and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
This episode is brought to you by TapCart, the number one mobile app builder for D2C e-commerce brands on Shopify. Now, if you haven't heard of TapCart, they're a no-code platform that makes it crazy easy for you to turn your Shopify store into a mobile app that your customers will absolutely love. The integration with your store is seamless and can be used directly in the Shopify admin. And everything is real-time synced, so all your products and collections, they all get pulled into the app without any extra effort on your part. Intelligent brands are winning today, knowing that push notifications are the key to reaching the top segment of customers in the age of saturated email and text marketing. Marketing truly is an attention game, and push notifications is the key to building your community and lifetime customer value. Now, with BFCM around the corner, now is a perfect time to launch a mobile app for your store. The TapCart team makes it super easy for to get your app live in the App Store all in 2 weeks or less. You'd be surprised how light the lift is to get started, so I highly recommend that you check out TapCart. Even if you're not sure if a mobile app is suitable for your store, it's totally worth a 30-minute free demo to learn about how this tool can help. Now, TapCart is offering up to 3 months for a limited time leading up to this peak season. So take advantage of their best deal of the year by booking a free 30-minute demo at tapcart.com/Fastlane. That's tapcart.com/Fastlane. Well, hey there. My name is Steve Hutt. I'm Senior Success Manager here at Shopify, and welcome back to the sixth season of E-commerce Fastlane. Now, whether this is your first time listening or you're a weekly subscriber, I seriously appreciate the fact that you're taking time today and listening to the show. I know there's plenty of podcast choices out there in Shopify and direct-to-consumer marketing, and just the fact that you're here today means the world to me, and it definitely does for my featured guest. New episodes are available twice weekly, and they're available from all of the favorite podcast apps, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and more. We're also streaming live now on Amazon Music and on YouTube, so if you consume your podcast that way, you might want to go check them out. I also highly recommend to get the full value of today's episode that you click through from whatever podcast app you're using today, and you can click through onto that. You'll go to E-commerce Fastlane, and there we'll have the transcript, the links, and any resources that we mentioned today. Now, today's episode, actually, this is an encore episode. Ironically enough, this person was on the show, I just looked it up, January the 15th, 2021. So literally, this is like almost 2 years to the day. But he's always been on my mind, his company and kind of what he does. His name is Sina Defari, and he is the CEO and founder of a company called Duoplane. That's Duoplane, Duoplane.com. And what they are is an order management solution. They connect to Shopify stores and to lots of other third parties, and they really help merchants with their drop shipping and their 3PL warehouse kind of order management. We're talking splitting orders and fulfilling orders on behalf of others. It's really, really, really interesting solution. It can be simple, but also can be complex. And it's very unique how they take a very consultative approach to kind of helping brands to scale up by expanding their product mix. So hi, Sina. Welcome again to E-commerce Fastlane.
Hey, Steve. It's really great to be back. Appreciate you having me back on the show.
Absolutely. I was just like I said, I shocked. 2 years have whipped by, and I know the platform continues. I just had another peek at the site. It just continues to iterate. It continues to have a lot of great case studies on the website. A lot of the stuff I'm going to have in the show notes for that I guarantee you there's going to be people that are listening today, because it's been a few years, they don't know what Dual Plane does and kind of the problems that you're solving for Shopify brands. So able to talk a little bit on a high level first, just to kind of level set everyone.
Sure. So generally, at a very high level, as you mentioned, we're an order management platform, but we're a little more specific than that. We focus on merchants who fulfill their orders from multiple suppliers. So traditionally that's dropship or 3PLs or, you know, print on demand, manufacture on demand type suppliers. So orders come in their Shopify store, and there might be three items that have to be fulfilled from three different places. And so our role really is just to help streamline that whole process of communicating everything between the Shopify merchant and their fulfillment partners.
Right. And what's great about your solution, too, that I love is that it's not a kind of out of the box solution. It really does have some main functionality. But the nice thing I like about it is the, like I said at the top, it's very consultative, meaning that we want to truly understand your business. And if you have one partner that you'd like to work with, or you have multiple partners, or there's some business rules that are very specific about, well, how long do we wait before someone's able to modify or change an order? Like, I know you have a lot of built-in kind of logic around the tool to say, okay, whatever your business rules are and how you flow, we're able to adapt our software to make sure that it fits to the 3PL or to the dropship supplier, and it all works kind of like harmoniously.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think that's kind of one of the key things to this type of workflow. I mean, I think our software does have some opinions built in, because a lot of people don't come in with a yes. fulfillment background yeah. and they don't really want to think about some of the basic things. But at the same time, the rules that you mentioned, sometimes, you know, different industries have different rules around, like, let's say there's maybe a high fraud industry. And so we have to do mm-hmm. some, you know, we have to wait for fraud checking but I guess the thing that we see the most is that every vendor is going to have some different requirement. Some vendors want their orders sent once a day, you know, up to an FTP server. Other vendors want their orders sent, you know, every time a new order comes in to directly to their software. So I think that's the thing that we really have to be configurable around, because we can't, our clients, at least the merchants, can't go to their vendors and say, hey, this is how it's going to be. The vendors are usually the ones who have an existing system that the merchants have to adapt to.
So let's talk about the origin story first, because I think that'll also just, I kind of get you as a thought leader in this space, because I think that's important to me. And I think it's important to my listeners understand, like, where did all of this come about? Like, why are you involved in this industry? And can you talk about just kind of like your journey to where you are today?
Yeah. I mean, Dual Plane is a classic, you know, as they say, scratch your own itch kind of company. Yeah. I have been in the e-commerce world for a long time, since the days of dinosaurs. So I founded a company back in 2003 in the home goods furniture space. And we built that company really not knowing anything. We had to build a lot of systems. We had to build our own shopping cart. I mean, there really wasn't anything back then. But part of what we were doing was working with a ton of different independent sort of modern design, you know, furniture makers and accessory makers and things like that. And so just out of necessity, we stumbled upon kind of the dropship model. There was almost no way we were going to be able to take inventory of everything. We didn't know what was going to sell. And so we just immediately started with the idea that we would try to sell things first and then have the supplier ship it directly to the end customer at that time. And again, it wasn't called dropship. A lot of the vendors didn't really know what to make of it. So we just built a lot of systems. We built a lot of processes, kind of wrote and rewrote our own internal manuals on how to do things. And so anyhow, that was my previous life. At some point, midway through, I just got way more excited about the software that I was helping to write for that company, and saw that as an opportunity, and really just wanted to do it for more than an audience of our own internal team. So that became my passion, and I ended up, we sold that company, and then I ended up founding Dual Plane from there, and haven't really looked back. I mean, it was, you know, from day one, we had immediately lots of interested, you know, customers, my old competitors, other companies in the industry. And so, you know, again, it just became my passion. I just loved the operations piece of things. I loved sort of helping other companies figure things out that I had spent so much time figuring out. And so it's still really the same company that it was when we founded, and I'm still, you know, just as excited about it.
So thank you for sharing that. I'm also thinking about the journey now that you're live and you've been running for a long time and you've got so many great case studies. I'm very curious on if your typical customer or client, so to speak, has changed over the years. Because I guess, and the reason for this question is because I recently had a conversation with a merchant that I manage, and they're in the kind of the baby shoe kind of market and kind of handbag market. And they came to me and said, you know what, it's a little tight for cash right now. We want to expand into other products. We just don't have the cash flow and then the risk that goes along with having to private label and test a new product category to expand and build their lifetime value out of their existing. Like, you know, they do $15 to $20 million a year. They're a fairly reasonable brand, well-known brand, a lot of, you know, different kind of brand partnerships with Disney and others. But they really want to branch out into other categories. And they came to me and said, like, is there software or is there an opportunity to get involved with other brands that are like non-competitive, but that are complementary to our products? And so I just want to kind of bring it back to you and saying, is that your typical client that says, hey, times are a little bit tough right now in the economy. Here we are and still in Q1 of 2023. We want to expand what, you know, into our full product mix. Is this a good way to build a business, to go out there and then not have the capital outlay or the risks involved with having to build your own product and test market it versus getting involved with someone else who already has, you know, a brand on the market and are willing to partner up with you in exchange for some kind of a revenue share. So just want to kind of understand your thoughts around that type of customer and if that's the ideal type of customer and is this the right mindset for today?
Yeah. I mean, well, certainly I'll answer the last piece first. Certainly, I do think it's the right mindset for today because I think there's a lot of uncertainty. You know, interest rates are higher, so capital is harder to come by. I would say it's definitely one of the kinds of companies that are typical for us. I don't know if it's sort of the majority. I mean, I think there's a few different buckets of the kinds of companies that we work with. I mean, someone who's coming with their own brand and wants to expand is definitely something that we've seen. Okay. And dropship is a great way to, you know, expand your product assortment and branch out into different categories, even if it's just, you know, experimenting to see whether or not it's something that your existing audience cares much about or is willing to buy. I think that's one thing that we've seen. But certainly, you know, to go back to kind of that approach, especially at times like today, I do think that we are seeing a lot more interest in that, in sort of expanding the dropship programs of companies who have historically managed their own inventory or produced their own products and trying to figure out a way to be more streamlined and be more nimble. And, you know, dropship's a great way to do that, just to, you know, not have that investment in, you know, inventory and also just, you know, the focus on managing, you know, warehouses and having that, you know, internal capability around understanding what warehouse management system should you use? How do you actually manage a warehouse? How do you become a logistics provider? I think that one thing that we're seeing more now, but certainly has always been the case, is merchants always trying to focus more and more on the things that really matter to their end customer, which is, you know, the customer experience, the front end, the brand that they're building. And if they can rely more on the experts for the fulfillment and logistics piece, then that helps them just focus more. So that's, I guess, the other piece is, you know, the focus of where you put your money, but also the focus of where you put your time and attention.
Mm-hmm. So what happens, let's say a brand, and I'm thinking about this baby brand right now. So if they connect to Dualplane, they have a good partner, and I guess there's a meeting of the minds about the technology of how each kind of communicate with each other for the fulfillment piece. And so then orders, I guess, would get split. Like for an example, they would buy some baby moccasins on one, but then they would get another, let's say, a stroller or some kind of a blanket or something that they don't sell, but they're having a drop ship.
Right.
So it's going to be, they're going to get one invoice because they purchased it from this one company. But in the back office, this order is then through Dualplane is routed over to this third party to be fulfilled on behalf of the brand that I manage. So just walk us through that kind of process. What happened? Like what does the customer see that makes this purchase? They get an invoice from their Shopify store. Thank you for your order. It's now split. So assuming there's two tracking numbers now, is there a workflow and a communication around that fact that there's going to be two orders coming. One, we're going to self-fulfill because that's us. This one, ironically, comes from a recommended partner of ours and is going to come on a separate tracking number. I just want to kind of understand that workflow.
Yeah. I mean, so we do try to help our clients make the end customer experience as sort of seamless and not different than how they, if it were coming from one place, you know, we try to make this as a single brand sort of experience. I mean, that said, yeah, the order would come into Duelplane. We would split up the order. Part of it would go to the 3PL, their internal warehouse to fulfill. The internal warehouse would ship it, and the tracking would go back into Shopify, indicating that only that one item had shipped. So the customer will probably will see two tracking emails, mm-hmm. and they'll see that. Usually, what we advise our customers to do is this might even be built in these days into the shipment notification, is to say, like, here's a tracking for this item. We know you still have this other item pending. It's coming from a different warehouse. You'll get a tracking when that one ships, and then, you know, when the next item ships, they'll get a second tracking email. I mean, I think my sense is these days, I don't have any like hard numbers, but most customers are used to that. And even if I order, you know, one thing from Amazon, it's all being shipped from Amazon. I'm typically am getting it in several different packages. I just know they have, you know, I live in the Bay Area. There's a warehouse in Sacramento. There's a warehouse in Fresno. And they just might be coming from different places. And so that's something I do think that customers are aware of. I think as long as, you know, it's communicated to them early on that orders might ship in different packages, and that when they do get tracking, that it's very clear on the email or in the packing list that, you know, the rest of the order will come from somewhere else. Right. I think that doesn't become a huge issue. I think the big thing is just making sure that the partners you're working with are shipping things either unbranded or using your packing slip, or and also just shipping things in a timely manner. So if you're used to shipping things out in 24 hours, that your partner is also shipping things out in 24 hours, that there's not a huge disjointed experience between your own warehouse and outside fulfillment partners.
I see. You brought up a good point about the Amazon. I agree with you. I think we're all trained now that it could be an FBA, like a fulfillment by Amazon, and it's a prime kind of delivery opportunity. But there's a lot of third-party sellers where it may be coming from another location. It's not in an Amazon warehouse, and that's fine. Right. I think people just get to know that. But on that note about Amazon and maybe other kind of connected partners, can you talk a bit about your integrations? Because I do remember in the past how you connect to accounting systems and other kind of shipping systems and even like some order management systems. You're talking about like maybe the intentionality around existing pieces of technology that a brand may have and how that integrates with Duelplane.
Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, there's three different main integrations that we think about. One is on the selling side. So, you know, integrating, for example, with Shopify and bringing in orders from there. And Shopify's done a great job of also, you know, building out their own selling channel. So a lot of times even though we have a direct integration with Amazon, we don't usually actually integrate directly with Amazon. A lot of our Shopify clients will send their orders through Shopify. So, so that's actually typically, how that works is a lot of the orders will just come from the e-commerce platform. The other piece of the integration that is far more complex and also where we put a lot of attention because we feel like it's very important is on the supplier warehouse side. So integrating with, you know, we try to build our system so that the supplier doesn't really have to lift a finger in order to bring on one of our clients as a partner. So if they're using, I'll just use the example ShipStation because it's used by a lot of a lot of the suppliers. If they're using ShipStation, their warehouse personnel is in ShipStation all day long, printing out labels, then what we do is we take our clients' orders and we just put them into that supplier's ShipStation account. They'll see it as a separate store, but they'll just have it in their workflow. And that's just one example. We try to do that with lots of other, you know, pre-built integrations with software. But then there's, you know, tons of homegrown 3PL solutions or, you know, EDI requirements. You know, we don't even know what we're necessarily integrating with, but they're, you know, we can usually ask the right questions very quickly to figure out what is the way that we can integrate with a vendor in the kind of least painful manner. And a lot of times it's something like, you know, sending them a CSV file or something in a customized way. But that's kind of generally how that works on the on the supplier side is, you know, giving them a menu of options or having a conversation with them to understand, you know, how they want to receive orders and send back tracking, send inventory. And that's a big part of what we've done is build it so that that's highly configurable on our side. It's not a custom integration or a custom coding job. It's just sort of picking something from a drop down, doing some configuration and, you know, ideally we're, you know, ready to go, you know, same day with that new supplier.
I got a question about, I'm going to be devil's advocate for a minute here, but just kind of the pitfalls of dropshipping, because, you know, you go to YouTube, there's like a million different courses about, you know, building a website, grabbing a bunch of things from AliExpress, and building a brand and all that. So I think you have a different lens around this whole industry. So can you talk a little bit about kind of these sort of pitfalls, like, I guess the customer experience pitfalls around dropshipping and kind of how you see the world?
Yeah. And I'll talk a little bit first about the AliExpress sort of, you know, YouTube courses and things like that. Cause we hear that a lot. I mean, unfortunately, it's the same word dropship, but it's a really different concept. I think a lot of people view dropshipping as a business model or as a kind of like, I'm going to start a dropshipping company. I mean, I would say none of our clients have ever said that. You know, they're retailers and merchants first and foremost, and they're, you know, product people and direct to consumer. Like, they think about their brand and their product and their niche. And so I think that's I'm not a huge believer, to be honest, in the kind of, you know, pick a ton of products and something will sell, or put all of Ingram Micro's 2 million products on a website and you're immediately going to be like a huge company.
Yeah.
So, but there are definitely pitfalls for dropshipping. I mean, I think, you know, probably the biggest thing that we see, especially if someone were to do this without the guidance of, you know, software, is just kind of this lack of visibility. I mean, you know, you think about, an order comes in and it's your own warehouse. Maybe it's in the same building. Like, you can literally walk down to the warehouse and understand kind of where it is. It's all in your own computer systems. You know exactly where it is in the process. With dropshipping, I mean, as soon as that order comes in and you send it to the vendor, like, it's outside of your house. You don't really know, did they get it? You know, has it shipped? Is there, you know, any kind of problem with it? And so I think that's one thing, is that lack of visibility. And, you know, it's solvable. I mean, that's kind of what we try to do through constant communication and by having these integrations built in so that it's as real time as possible. But I'd say that's probably the biggest thing. Yeah, the second piece, and I guess this is sort of part of the visibility issue, is, you know, with inventory. And we saw this actually a lot over the kind of past year and a half with some supply chain issues, with just not knowing what's available. You might sell something on your website and the supplier didn't really have it, even though they may have had it yesterday or they just weren't able to tell you that they didn't have it. And so, you know, selling something that's out of stock is just bad. I mean, it's expensive. Yeah. It's a bad customer experience. And so that's another kind of pitfall. Again, we try to curtail that by enabling, you know, inventory feeds and trying to have as real time of inventory, you know, sent from your supplier to your Shopify store as we can, so that, you know, there's an understanding on the customer side of what is actually available. Yeah. And I guess the third piece, as far as a pitfall, is just it does become way more complex. I mean, you're working with a lot of outside parties who have different systems, different rules, different personalities, you know, different ways of communicating. And so I think that that's kind of one of the more complex things. Again, you can't just decide this is how we're going to do things and all of our vendors are going to do it that way. It's, you know, unless you're Walmart, but even then, like, I think that there's a kind of a push and pull of, you know, whose system are we going to use? And so I think that's kind of, again, what we try to mitigate by trying to create a system in the middle that, you know, is a one plug-in, you know, plug into your Shopify store, and then and then you don't need to worry about how things are being communicated, you know, back and forth with your suppliers. But it becomes complex. And you know, my message to people who are sort of, you know, looking into this is it is hard. I mean, it is kind of complicated to understand. I mean, we do try to, you know, simplify it, but I think in the end it's worth it, you know, in terms of the flexibility it gives you, the cost savings it gives you. But it really is it's a communications challenge. And so I think that a lot of times, you know, again, dropshipping does get a bad name because it's, you know, you might not know who your vendor is, or you might not know much about things. But I think that the key is really, you know, there's a way to do it where you can do it successfully.
If your Shopify store is making 5 or 6 figures per month in revenue, then you should totally consider using TapCart to create a mobile app for your store. Now, innovative brands know that their customers prefer shopping on mobile apps and that push notifications are the key to reaching your top segment of customers in the age of saturated email and SMS marketing. Now, for a limited time leading up to the peak season, TapCard is offering up to 3 months for free. So take advantage of their best deal of the year by booking a free 30-minute demo at tapcard.com/Fastlane. That's tapcard.com/Fastlane. I also think, too, I think it's pretty difficult to build a brand around just strictly dropshipping only. And you made a great comment about the fact that you're dealing with like proper direct-to-consumer kind of operators that are building a brand. They have a business. They have product market fit, but maybe they're considering to expand out into other non-competing verticals just to complement, have a better customer experience overall. And so it's weird, you know, you think about it, imagine if you're not building a brand because the logo on the box is the other company that's right, shipping the order on your behalf, versus having a proper business relationship with a dropship vendor, maybe in a white labeled box and adding some kind of some paperwork and things inside for warranty and reviews and things. And so I think there really is ways of building a business with dropshipping, but not solely just dropshipping. And like you said, chuck a bunch of products on a website and think you're going to get some organic traffic and conversions. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, no, I definitely think that there's even if you're trying to build a brand with 100% other people's products. I mean, I think the onus is on the retailer to add some value, you know, whether it's, through content or expertise or, even just curation, which again, like, we've sort of forgotten almost the benefit of curation when we think about Amazon and marketplaces and things. But I think there is a huge benefit to understanding, what are good products and only selling good products. And so that when an end customer comes to your website, they trust that you thought about, like, is this a product that actually is, one that they are going to stand behind versus, hey, we threw up every product. If you bought it kind of bad, you read the reviews, it's up to you. But I think there's a benefit to, and we see this actually with a lot of our clients in like niche products, like boating supplies or industrial equipment and things where they really have vetted they're drop shipping and it's none of it's their brand, but they've really vetted the selection and they, therefore they have a huge following of people who will only buy from their company because they know that they're getting a quality product. And if there's a problem also that the merchant has a direct and strong relationship with the supplier or manufacturer to remedy that. And so I think that's another benefit of, or another, I guess, way for a merchant to build a brand is through that kind of trust that they can build by having, real knowledge of their industry, of the products, and again, of having like a really strong relationship with their suppliers. Mm.
What's interesting too is that I was thinking like some other use cases of selling other people's products. And I think about, like a B2C kind of marketplace or even a B2B marketplace that you can create and kind of bolt on as part of your business. Any comments around that or any brands that you can think of that are doing that sort of thing where they're trying to, they have their own private label products, but then they're like, well, retail, we have these, but maybe there's an opportunity to have a wider scope of products in a full marketplace.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of companies are doing that. I don't know if I would, and maybe this is just semantics. I don't know if I would necessarily call it a marketplace because a lot of times a marketplace is the end customer understands that they are more or less dealing directly with the kind of the supplier. And if, if there's a problem or whatever that they have to deal directly with the supplier. But I think that certainly the idea of augmenting products that you manufacture or that you warehouse with other people's, I would say that's actually the vast majority of our clients. I mean, almost all of our clients have some element of the products that they sell are, some of them are warehoused and they own the inventory. They've, for whatever the math they've done, they've decided that they're going to make a purchase and they're going to put those in a warehouse. Often it's still a 3PL. I think our clients still try to shy away from owning the warehouse themselves, but they do own the inventory. And then they augment that, with other products. Either maybe they don't sell as much or they're too heavy to ship, or, again, like there's a long tail of demand. And so they don't know of the 800 colors that are available, which one's going to sell, so they, you know, choose to sell it directly from the manufacturer. Right. But yeah, I do think that that's a that is the common theme that we definitely see, is that a lot of our clients will have some element of a hybrid model of dropship and self-fulfilled.
Okay, cool. I want to pivot to a story now. I think I'm motivated when I hear stories, because I always think about my book of merchants, like, okay, if this brand did that and this was their mindset around wanting to get involved with a dropship opportunity to expand their product mix to drive more revenue and LTV, hopefully I don't put you on the spot here, but it'd be great to hear a story, ideally a Shopify brand that was in this exact predicament, I guess, and then found Dual Plane, executed on it, and then, you know, where are they today based on that relationship and that mindset around wanting to expand their products?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I have lots of favorite customers. I mean, I like our customers. But I guess one in particular that comes to mind, actually just talking to them yesterday, is a company called Dormify, which is a Shopify client, Shopify Plus client, that sells dorm decor, basically. Mm-hmm. Okay. Really cool stuff. Actually, I wouldn't even say it's just for dorms, even though that's how they position themselves. I think it's, I would even put some of that stuff in my room, and I'm not even
a college teenager student anymore.
Yeah. But we've been working with them for years. We actually were working with them before they were on Shopify, and, you know, kind of worked with them to migrate over, or, you know, as part of that process. And I mean, they're again, classic kind of, I think a story that we see is they had a combination of products that they were fulfilling themselves and mm-hmm. they were drop shipping. And, you know, it was just, everything was manual. And, you know, the team was kind of being bogged down by a lot of these manual processes. I mean, there was human error. I remember that was kind of getting customers to get their incorrect orders. Suppliers were frustrated because, you know, of how orders were being sent to them, and, mm-hmm. you know, suppliers were sending tracking back, and, you know, but they weren't getting it. And they were sort of always asking, you know, what's the status of this order? So there were a lot of manual processes that just weren't really working, and they weren't really able to kind of keep up with their existing business and kind of grow their supplier base. And so we, you know, worked with them and, you know, got them set up on Duoplane, got them set up with a lot of their suppliers to kind of, you know, integrate with their existing systems, integrated with their internal 3PL as well. And, you know, and we've just been kind of working with them since, you know, for years. And I can't remember how long it's been, 5 or 6 years. And just sort of, you know, watching the business grow and watching it sort of, you know, change and have them bring on new vendors, you know, has been gratifying for me, certainly. I mean, and I just love working with them. They really know what they're doing. And, you know, they bring us really complex scenarios that we actually really love to solve. And so I think that's kind of one of the things that makes them one of my favorite, you know, customers is, mm-hmm. you know, they're always kind of challenging us, and we really like to have our system be really configurable, and we really like to help people kind of think about how to do things more efficiently. And so it's been fun working with them, you know, to kind of have them help us expand our offering while we help them expand, you know, what they can do.
Cool. Thank you for sharing that. I'll make sure I put a link to them. I've definitely heard of Dharmify in the past, and I'm just having a look right now. And you're right, there's definitely wide appeal outside of the college market for sure. There's some really neat stuff here. I want to talk a little bit about the order management side of the business too, because I'm thinking about a lot of the brands that I manage where they have a kind of a multi-store contract where they're running a store in Canada and they're running a store in the UK and they're doing some internationalization. Can you talk a little bit about how Duoplane fits into a multi-store situation? And then can we talk about how returns management or exchanges work as it relates to your platform? Because I think that's another customer experience thing. So multi-store and returns management.
Yeah. So multi-store, so a couple different things that come to mind when you mentioned that. I mean, one is first of all, like if someone has multiple stores, I mean, a lot of our clients will have multiple sort of storefronts, you know, maybe all around the same general theme of products. And so what we do is we basically, there would be one Duoplane account, and we consolidate all that order flow into one place in Duoplane and can essentially create one stream of orders to the supplier where they are, you know, they're receiving things. They don't have to receive things kind of in a disjointed way from different stores. So a lot of suppliers just want kind of one stream of orders. I mean, that said, we can also provide ways for like we'll send customized packing slips, for example. So if it comes from store A or store B, they will get a different packing slip. Meaning the supplier, will get a different packing slip so that they can brand the package differently. So that's something we definitely see. I mean, I think, again, like when someone knows how to do e-commerce, I mean, expanding to other storefronts is a pretty common thing. So especially if it's a slightly different, product, like certain products that have a male appeal, they might be in one storefront. Other ones that have a female appeal might be in a different storefront, right. And they'll still kind of try to manage it in one place. The use case you brought up, though, of multi-country is interesting because, yeah, the order routing piece is interesting there, where let's say the North American, there might be one North American warehouse. So US and Canada, orders go to one place, and there might be a European warehouse. And so, that is part of our order routing logic. I mean, I could get into some of the specifics of how people route orders, but that is one of the options is to understand kind of what countries a certain supplier can and cannot fulfill to, and we'll route orders accordingly. For example, if it's even within a country and there's different suppliers, just routing orders based off of location. So we kind of have a proxy for the estimated cost of shipping and time of shipping to a customer. And so we'll route the order to essentially the closest warehouse, the one that can get it to them faster. Mm-hmm. I mean, there ends up being a lot of different complex rules that some people, try to implement. I mean, really in the end, it's kind of like the lowest cost in-stock provider is often who the order goes to. But in the case of, international orders, again, like there's sort of service area restrictions is sort of like how we think about it. Like, you can and cannot ship to certain areas. But there's also, we've seen lots of weird orders, a lot of like rules where a merchant tries to, split orders evenly. So if it's Monday, it goes to this vendor. If it's Tuesday, it goes to that vendor. Oh, and like, things like that. So there are a lot of interesting kind of use cases there. I mean, we actually try to discourage too much complexity there because it becomes, that's just part of our sort of consultative role sometimes, is it can get to the point where the complexity is a little overwhelming and hard to kind of debug what's going on. Mm-hmm. And, we try to kind of convince our clients to keep it at complex enough where it makes a difference. But once it gets to the point of diminishing returns, kind of bring it back a little bit and kind of keep it simpler. Because otherwise, everyone on their team just gets a little confused about what the heck's happening. I mean, we generally understand because we see the code and we understand why it's happening, but it can be a little too complex sometimes.
Just have one final question kind of before we wrap up for today. I'm sure I have a few more, but one that's, Shopify seems to be really doubling down with their acquisition of Deliver. It was a $2 billion acquisition.
Yeah.
And they had their Shopify's fulfillment network, and they had Six River Systems, all these robots. And it was so interesting, some of the this M&A that's been happening with Shopify in the fulfillment side of their business. I think the product side is quite strong, as it relates to social selling and just all the parts of their network. But it's interesting with this whole Deliver acquisition. So are you finding some of your merchants are getting involved with Shopify's fulfillment network, I guess, powered by Deliver now? And do you see the benefits long-term of wanting to partner up directly with Shopify? And, I'm just curious on how Deliver or how Dualplane fits into this mix, if that's one of their warehouse opportunities for fulfillment or there's other warehouses for other fulfillment. I just want to kind of get the lay of the land a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, I can't speak very intelligently how many of our clients are sort of using, the Shopify options. I do know that a lot of our clients do use Deliver and actually used it long before the acquisition, because we send orders and we integrate with Deliver.
Okay.
I think that the general theme of those types of acquisitions and the kind of the reasoning around helping merchants fulfill better and fulfill faster and also not manage fulfillment themselves is definitely consistent with how we think about things. I mean, I think that the idea of, starting a e-commerce, having an e-commerce presence and then, focusing on your product and your brand and then turning around and having to manage your own warehouse and the warehouse personnel and the robots, like no merchant should really have to do that. So I think I fully believe in the idea that logistics should be kind of a specialized thing that people plug into. So that, I think it's, I mean, in many ways, it's just consistent with how we sort of think about things in our role. I mean, as far as like how that affects our clients and whether or not they've taken, I don't actually have a great great sense of how many of our clients have sort of taken advantage of the Shopify options. Mm-hmm. But I think that, like, ultimately we will probably see this, you know, continued hybrid approach where, you know, 3PL plus, you know, for your own inventory plus dropship from outside buyers, I think will continue to be the way that a lot of our clients will do things. That seems to be the winning combination that we've seen.
Yeah. And I'd argue too that, you know, really, I mean, having a 2-day or a 1-day kind of delivery option, however it's fulfilled from your wholly owned warehouse, your 3PL, deliver, whomever, I think that's a competitive advantage for the brand, knowing that you have that opportunity available.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, you know, even when with dropship, I mean, I think that we even see that the we have less of a window in this, but the vendors that we're often sending orders to are using something like Deliver or, you know, a well-known 3PL to fulfill their items. So even on the manufacturing and supplier side, you know, they're also focused on building product. And so, you know, for them to outsource logistics also, you know, makes sense as well. Mm-hmm. So I think that's just a general trend of, like, you know, leave logistics to the experts, because mm-hmm. they are the ones who are going to be able to get something out in a day or the same day.
So before we wrap up, I know I already said that, but it's just, I got a couple more questions I'm thinking of too.
Sure.
About the future of the product, because, you know, like I said, it's been a couple of years since, you know, our last interview, and obviously there's a, you know, a roadmap of kind of enhancements, and I'm sure there's customer feedback and frustrations, and you're improving the platform. Can you talk a little bit about maybe where you're at today, and then where you believe the product is kind of headed now into 23?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, the product, I mean, I'm not sure if this is good or bad. The product is still, from a product philosophy standpoint, still kind of what it was when we started. I mean, we're still, our goal is to figure out what happens between merchants and their fulfillment partners and try mm-hmm. to automate and streamline it. So, and there's a lot of things that we don't yet handle. So we are basically trying to just kind of, you know, going down the list and trying to, you know, pick those off, you know, things like catalog information, you know, handling payments themselves. So there's a few things that we don't do right now that we kind of have to, or whatever, we want to kind of, you know, really beef up. I think the other thing that we've focused on recently, and we're really making more of a focus on this, is on the vendor side. So, you know, more pre-built vendor integrations make things just super easy for a supplier to receive orders and send back tracking and et cetera, with our clients, the merchants. I think those, we've built some of those, like I mentioned, ShipStation. We actually have a Shopify vendor facing integration. So if you want to receive orders, if you're a supplier to somebody and you want to receive orders into your Shopify store from Duoplane, we, you know, like, we've seen huge uptake every time we've built those. So I think that's one of the things we want to do. But in general, like, just more flexibility and configurability, I'd say is the theme. I mean, we're always surprised at the use cases, and we want to build more kind of, you know, workflow engines and more options, you know, again, without going overboard and making it confusing. I think we're also always trying to be, you know, make things so that, you know, one of our themes is just always that someone can be up and running very quickly with Duoplane. It's not like a multi-week or multi-month integration process, but we also recognize that everyone has different desires and needs. And so we're trying to always make our software just much more configurable and create different workflows that work with different kinds of companies.
Mm. Okay, cool. So how can people learn more about Duoplane? Like, what's our kind of call to action for today? They've listened to this, they maybe see the benefits in wanting to expand their product mix, and they want to see if they are, you know, in the sweet spot of kind of expanding their business. Where would you like to send people, and what are the kind of next steps?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, probably the best resource is our website, duoplane.com. But more specifically, if someone finds it interesting, our team members would be more than happy to, you know, set up a call and you know, talk about a merchant's business and just understand if we can help. And there's a way to just set up a meeting with one of our team on our contact us page.
Okay.
So, and we, you know, once we get going, we, you know, with someone, we have tons of resources on our support website, you know, some, you know, a lot of YouTube videos, things like that. But those are more kind of geared to our clients, as opposed to someone who's just trying to understand if drop shipping is right for them, if they're already drop shipping, if Duoplane's right for them.
And I see there's quite a few success stories, a lot of resources and things like that on dualplane.com. Also, there is a Shopify app. You can just go to the app store and type dualplane in. You can get some of the details there. Yep. Of kind of how that directly syncs with like all the things we mentioned today about the ship stations and the QuickBooks and like everything. It just all syncs up nice. So that's great. And I know we had a quick chat before recording today. I understand that if it turns out that dualplane is right for a brand, that you're offering a little bit of a little promotion for those listening today. Can you share some of the details on that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we talked about, I think we wanted to, you know, provide a little more of a white glove sort of consulting session to anyone listening today. So, okay. So definitely, you know, mention that you heard about us on e-commerce Fastlane, and, you know, we could maybe dive a little bit more into your business and things. I mean, in general, we try to be a consultative type of company, but I think if we want to, you know, maybe reward kind of the Fastlane listener a little bit more and spend some more time. But from a promotion standpoint, yeah, we are offering 30% off for the first 3 months for anyone who mentions that they heard about us from Fastlane. So they think that would be, again, something to kind of talk about when we do kind of have that initial call.
Beautiful. So I'll have ecommercefastlane.com/dualplane. So that will kind of redirect over to your site and landing page over there to take Sina and his team up for that offer. Thank you for that. I think that consultation really does make sense. Just to double check to say, here's what our business outcomes are. Here's what our current challenges are, but here's the opportunity at hand. How can we connect? What are the costs associated to that? Are there any vendors that you could kind of recommend? Are you pre-configured? And I think all of that gets fleshed out through a consultation session. So I just really appreciate that you're holding some hands and some white glove. That's much appreciated. Other than that, I want to thank you again for coming on the show. We can't be every 2 years. We got to make sure every year we have you on the show. You really are an impactful partner with Shopify. I know for a fact, and you always are on top of radar for me. Whenever someone says drop shipping, I always think of dualplane. There are other notable competitors kind of trying to do their thing also in different ways, but tried and true, I think dualplane needs to and continues to come to the table when it comes to those looking to want to expand their product mix. And I think you have a fantastic platform, and I wish you tremendous success, continued success in the Shopify world. And thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you very much, Steve. I really appreciate you having me.
All right. Have a great day.
Thanks.
Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you personally for being a loyal listener of eCommerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.